Welcome to day 90 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards. We're looking at the sacraments. We're focused on chapter 27 of the Westminster Confession of Faith and the questions in the catechisms, which parallel the subject of the sacraments. We'll look first at Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 91. How do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? Answer: the sacraments become effectual means of salvation not from any virtue in them, or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. Okay, from the first section, that the sacraments become effectual means of salvation, not from any virtue in them or in him that doth administer them, but only by the blessing of Christ, we look first at 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And then second, that the sacraments become effectual means of salvation only by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. A parallel question, Westminster Larger Catechism, question 161, also asks, how do the sacraments become effectual means of salvation? And answers, the sacraments become effectual means of salvation not by any power in themselves or any virtue derived from the piety or intention of him by whom they are administered, but only by the working of the Holy Ghost and the blessing of Christ by whom they are instituted. Likewise, it, as with the Shorter Catechism, it cites 1 Peter 3:21 and 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 12, but it also adds Acts 8:13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Compared with verse 23, for I perceive, said Peter to Simon, that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Now we turn to Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 27, section 3. The grace which is exhibited in or by the sacraments rightly used is not conferred by any power in them, neither does the efficacy of a sacrament depend upon the piety or intention of him that does administer it, but upon the work of the Spirit and the word of institution, which contains, together with a precept authorizing the use thereof, a promise of benefit to worthy receivers. Okay, for the first phrase, that the grace which is exhibited in or by the sacraments is not conferred by any power in them, nor does the efficacy of a sacrament depend upon the piety or intention of him that does administer it, we look, as with the catechisms, 1 Peter 3:21, but also Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Then for the second phrase, that it depends upon the work of the Spirit, again we have Matthew 3:11, where John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Then finally, the phrase that the word of institution, the word is what confers the grace, which contains, together with a precept authorizing the use thereof, a promise of benefit to worthy receivers. Matthew 26:27, which I think we read that above. I know that was yesterday. Matthew 26:27 says, "He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." And Matthew 28:19, which we also read yesterday, which is the Great Commission, and that is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age. Amen." Then back to the Shorter Catechism, where question 93 asks, "Which are the sacraments of the New Testament?" Answer, "The sacraments of the New Testament are baptism and the Lord's Supper." For baptism, we're told to go again to Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then for the Lord's Supper, we're given Matthew 26:26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Larger Catechism 164, asking basically the same question, "How many sacraments hath Christ instituted in his church under the New Testament?" Answer, "Under the New Testament, Christ hath instituted in his church only two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper." Both of these are Matthew 28:19 again, "Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them," and 1 Corinthians 11:20, "When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And Matthew 26, again, which we just read up above with the Shorter Catechism. Then, Westminster Confession of Faith, again, chapter 27, section 4. "There are only two sacraments ordained by Christ our Lord in the Gospel, that is to say, baptism and the Supper of the Lord, neither of which may be dispensed by any, but by a minister of the Word lawfully ordained." And again, we have Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians 11:20, "When you come together, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Also, 1 Corinthians 4:1, which deals with the part about a minister of the Word lawfully ordained. "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." And Hebrews 5:4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Finally, we have Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 27, section 5. "The sacraments of the Old Testament in regard to the spiritual things thereby signified and exhibited were, for substance, the same with those of the New." And for proof, we're directed to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Okay, tomorrow on day 91, we'll begin looking in more detail at the two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But just a comment here. Even though the word sacrament isn't even in the Bible, the sacraments have been probably as divisive, maybe even more divisive than something more controversial like predestination. You have the Baptists, for example, who distinguish themselves about their view on the sacrament of baptism. The Lord's Supper, communion, or the Catholics call it the Mass, has obviously been a huge, big difference of opinion, maybe in some sense a real core of the Reformation. There are some Christians, like the ultra-dispensationalists, who don't believe in baptism. They believe baptism by water has been replaced by baptism of the Spirit. everybody has lots of different views. What I would like to say is what the proverb says, iron sharpens iron. And if we courteously and charitably listen to our arguments, I think we can gain some knowledge and wisdom. So if you have a view of the sacraments which differs from that of the Westminster Confession, please don't hesitate to raise the issue on the blog, post a comment, initiate a discussion, and if people are interested, they'll join the conversation. Otherwise, we'll just keep going on through the confession and the catechisms. But I understand that this is a subject about which Christians have a great deal of passionate disagreement, but I think that disagreement is helpful if we argue courteously, and especially if we try always, like the Bereans, to search the scriptures to see if these things are so. So tomorrow on day 91, we'll begin looking at baptism and then the Lord's Supper after that.